Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to another show. You are now in the War Report. This is episode 12. I'm your host, Tony Smith. And the name of today's show is Syria accused of chemical attack and Trump and the U.S.'s response. Again, like I said, I'm your host, Tony Smith. Thank you all for listening in, broadcasting live via blogtalkradio.com/The Green News Network. Broadcasting live at paltalk.com, also broadcasting live on Skype and on Podbean and Speaker as well. We'll also live streaming from facebook.com/The Green News Network, also broadcasting live from YouTube, Ustream TV, Dailymotion, BitChute, Periscope.tv, live streaming from all of those sites. So thank you all for listening in via those sites, and let's get into it. So basically, the situation is a few days after Trump announced that we're going to be leaving Syria. You know, he said ISIS is pretty much defeated there. So this was an opportunity for the deep state to try to push ultimately what they want, and that is World War III, because they need their problem reaction solution in order to bring in their new world order, which is what they're trying to do. So basically what the deep state or shadow government, Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, what they are doing is antagonizing the situation in Syria because of the multiple players that are involved. For instance, Turkey is involved because they are fighting the Kurds on the southern border, and the Kurds are also in the north in Syria. Turkey is also not favorable of the Assad government. Saudi Arabia has pretty much pulled out of Syria and cut all its funding. But they were involved. Then on the other side, you have Iran, Russia, who are involved. You also, on the Western side, you have Turkey, the United States, Israel, France. All of those countries are involved in this Syrian conflict. And one wrong move by any of these countries could spark World War III. which is what the deep state is trying to do, which is why they keep going back to the same playbook with the chemical weapons attack, because it forces the hand of the United States. There are also rebels and ISIS still in Syria, but they are badly defeated and their funding is cut off. So this is the situation that we have at this point. And we're also going into the midterm election season, as well as the deep state pushing this Russian narrative and antagonizing Russia in Iran and Syria. Israel also launched an attack in Syria as well, which is upsetting Hezbollah as well as Iran, which is Russia's ally. So it's a really touchy situation. And the U.S. is supposed to be holding Israel in check, and Israel's just unilaterally just bombing targets in Syria. As well as France. France is also secretly launching attacks in Syria as well, because they have that globalist president in Macron in France. So you have that going on. All these situations in Syria, which is just a pot ready to explode, and they understand that. So this is why the deep state and the military industrial complex and all of them are making their move in Syria. So they are doubled down with the Russian narrative. Then on top of the doubling down of the Russian narrative, now they're pulling the Syrian card again. And those things they are using to bog down Trump's agenda, as well as continue with the war that they wanted to start, which is World War III, because they're not giving up on their New World Order. So let's just take a listen to this first clip, and it'll give us some details as far as the situation is concerned. So let's take a listen.
Images of children suffering after an alleged chemical attack on the rebel-held town of Douma near Syria's capital Damascus have sparked renewed international outrage. Witnesses said patients gave off a chlorine-like smell, and some had bluish skin, which can be a sign of oxygen deprivation. In a tweet Sunday, Trump called the attack sick and mindless and promised a big price to pay. White House Homeland Security Advisor Thomas Bossert told ABC's This Week show that the president is discussing options with his senior national security cabinet.
This isn't just the United States. This is one of those issues on which every nation, all peoples have all agreed and have agreed since World War II. Is an unacceptable practice.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan accused the West of supporting the Syrian government.
Hey, West, when will you turn around and look at these children, these women who are being killed in eastern Ghouta, so we can say you're acting justly?
The alleged chlorine attack on Saturday came days after Trump said he wanted to pull out U.S. troops from Syria against the advice of his military leaders. Bossert said the United States has contributed more than its share to the world's security.
It is time to move that pendulum back in a way that brings regional partners and others with equities in these matters all around the globe into putting their resources and their treasure and their boys and girls on the line, and not just American troops. American troops aren't going to fix the 6 or 7 different ongoing conflicts and wars going on in the Middle East or in Syria at this stage.
The U.S. State Department has called on Russia to stop supporting the Syrian president and to work with the international community to prevent further barbaric chemical weapons attacks. Russia and Syria denied that a chemical attack took place. Assad's forces were accused of a similar attack against rebels in Idlib almost exactly a year ago. International investigators concluded that the Syrian Air Force most likely used sarin gas in that attack, which killed 100 people. Larissa Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Okay, so there you have it. And in this situation, they didn't do it. It's the same thing. It's a false flag attack. If there is a chemical attack that's happened, it's the rebels that did it because they are the ones who still have the chemical weapons. And the MSM is also trying to push the fact that Assad may have not given up all of his chemical weapons, which in fact he did. And it has been confirmed with the UN. So if you look up 2013 Syrian chemical weapons, you'll look at the program that was set up to destroy those weapons. They all were destroyed and it was verified. So more lies. So now Trump saying, you know, it's going to be grave consequences or what have you. I'm paraphrasing. But he just, so it basically it's the deep state playing their card, playing their chess move. So like, what are you going to do now, Trump, since you just announced a pull out? They're basically putting him in the position Obama was in Syria, should he bomb and we go full out war or not. And then he went to Congress to try to get Congress to vote for it. And of course the Congress denied, you know, voted against the bombing and war in Syria. So that's where they're putting, that's where they're putting Trump at this point in that position. So that's really what it is, brothers and sisters. It's Assad is not doing anything. Assad is trying to maintain his presidency and his government, as well as keep the country from falling into total chaos, which it already is. But the government still has control of the country. It is not a Libya or an Iraq that didn't have a government. You know, it still has the government intact that it initially started out with before this war started. And then if you notice in the clip, he said that the U.S. and our boys can't, you know, continue to support and police the world. And there's six or seven wars going on. Well, who started those six or seven wars? America did. So what this should do, what they should do is pass a resolution in Congress to change the mission from the war on terror to the rebuilding from the war on terror. And they should rebuild every country that they bombed and taken down in the last 40 years since World War II. So every country, this is how it should go. And we should use the troops to rebuild and pay them well in that. And do not use private contractors. Use the troops and pay them what you would pay the contractors. And build the war-torn places that we've destroyed. That would build our credibility back up with the people of those countries. And that would give us better standing in the world as a peaceful entity within the global community, which America is not seen as that at this point. We are the aggressors of the world. And that's how we are seen and have been seen since, I would say, the Gulf War. Is probably when people really, well, we can say Vietnam War as well, but I would say the Gulf War is really when people started to say, hey, you know what, America is not who they say they are. So that's the situation that we have, brothers and sisters. Also, you know, meanwhile, while this is going on, Israel has launched a bombing campaign on Syria, and nobody's saying anything about that. President Trump didn't even say anything about that, but they're going to condemn Assad, and Israel is bombing Syria with no UN resolution. defying international law, going into Syrian airspace during a military conflict that they are supposedly not involved in? Get the hell out of here, man. They want that Golan Heights. They actually want all of Syria, because the Israelis believe that from the Nile to the Euphrates River, all of that is their land. They believe that. It's not true, but that's what they believe. So that's partly why they are more than happy to bomb and keep Syria destabilized so that they can do their gentrification and their genocide that they're doing to the Palestinians. They're going to do it to the Syrians and as well as the Egyptians eventually. But they're using the Egyptians right now to their advantage because they have favorable leadership in the government of Egypt at this point, because they want that Sinai Peninsula. So that's ultimately Israel's aim. And then they have the Zionist regime, which is a globalist entity that got them into that land in the first place. So the whole thing is bad. The whole situation is wrong and against international law. So it's a bunch of hypocrisy, brothers and sisters. And the only thing that can be done is to bring out the facts of the matter and stand on them and don't allow these propagandists to lie. So let's go to this next clip, and I want you to listen and see that how Israel is bombing Syria. But you hear nothing of that. But as soon as their narrative is available, they take it. And it's a complete lie, a complete fabrication. Russia and Syria both came out and said that there was no chemical attack. And I personally believe Russia and Syria. Politically, what motive does Assad have in gassing his people? He is politically winning. And this is the same argument that was posed back when they tried to say that he used sarin gas on his people in previous. But was there anything done about that? That narrative just went to the wayside, didn't it? Because it wasn't true. This is the same situation. It's a lie, brothers and sisters. As soon as Trump said he's pulling out, they said, whoa, you can't. Look what's going on. So it's propaganda, brothers and sisters. But I want you to take a listen to this clip and look at what Israel's also doing in Syria.
Syria and its ally Russia have blamed Israel for a missile attack on a government airbase. The Interfax news agency said Israeli warplanes had carried out the strikes from Lebanese airspace. Monday's attack hit the Tiyas airbase, known as T4, near the city of Homs. Reports say several people have died, some of them Iranian. This follows a suspected chemical attack on a rebel-held area near the Syrian capital Damascus, an attack that has been blamed on the Syrian government. Our correspondent Yolande Nell has been monitoring events from Jerusalem.
Well, the information we have is coming from the Russian Defense Ministry and also from the Syrians, and reports saying that two Israeli F-15 warplanes fired several missiles between 12:30 and 1:00 in the morning GMT at this airbase, which is in the center of Syria. It's the largest military airbase in the country. We understand that some of the missiles struck the western part of the airfield. Now, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which monitors events in Syria from the UK, it's saying at least 14 people were killed there, including Iranians. And we do know that at this particular airbase, as well as the Syrians, there are Iranians, also members of the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah, and also, of course, Russians as well. The Russians say that there were no Russian specialists that were injured in this incident. Here, the Israeli military spokesperson is declining to comment, but that is quite typical because we have had dozens of strikes carried out by Israel, we know, inside Syria in recent years, without, in most cases, the Israelis commenting on them.
Now, the US was very quick to say that it was not behind this attack, but do you think that the Pentagon might have known this strike was coming?
Well, certainly, even the Syrians at first suspected that it was the U.S. that was behind this airstrike after that warning from President Trump after a suspected chemical weapon attack in Douma, in the rebel-held town there, that President Bashar al-Assad would have a big price to pay. Of course, the U.S. is an extremely important ally of Israel, so we could expect that the Israelis would tell Washington what it was, what they were planning. Also, perhaps the Russians too, because we do know that the Russians have in the past, besides having very good relations with the Israelis in general, they have got involved to try to de-escalate the situation, particularly back in February when actually Israel targeted this very airfield after an Iranian drone was said to have been flown into Israeli airspace. And that was actually one of the most recent dangerous flare-ups in this confrontation. We believe that Moscow got involved to calm the situation at that point.
You use the word de-escalation, Yolande, but that seems a little unlikely now, given also what President Trump has been tweeting about the man he calls Animal Assad, and the fact that his new security advisor, national security advisor John Bolton, has just taken up the role today, and he's known for being very hawkish.
And indeed, and Israeli officials also have been coming out urging the U.S. to take action against President Assad if, as seems to have been the case, his forces are found to have carried out this chemical weapons attack. Of course, it's about a year ago that the U.S. fired cruise missiles at a government airbase in retaliation for another suspected chemical attack back in April 2017. So now there is a lot of people looking towards Washington, also towards the French President Emmanuel Macron, who has come out saying that there should be a strong response taken against the Syrian regime in this case. But Israel for itself makes clear that it has what it sees as its national security threats, its own red lines, and they are typically to try to stop any advanced weaponry being passed to Hezbollah, its sworn enemy, and also, of course, it's extremely concerned about Iran trying to establish a permanent military presence inside Syria.
And we've just heard from Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, who says the overnight airstrike is a dangerous development. He has also insisted there is no sign of the Syrian government using chemical weapons in Douma. He said the area has been visited by our military specialists and representatives from the Syrian Red Crescent. They found no traces of chlorine or any other chemical substance being used against peaceful civilians.
See, there you go. And that's a pretty good report in, as far as is concerned. So it's the French in the background, and they're carrying out silent attacks. The Israelis are carrying out silent attacks. And then you have the Russians and the U.S., Turkey, and Iran. So Iran and Israel are fighting in Syria. Israel wants the land and wants to try to stop Iranian influence, which they caused in Iraq, trying to get rid of Saddam Hussein, who they thought was a threat, which he was not. He was actually fighting Iran to hold them at bay. But that was the situation. So you got Iran and Israel fighting proxy war within Syria. You've got the rebels who were funded by Saudi Arabia and the U.S. And ISIS, who are funded by Saudi Arabia and the U.S. through the CIA, still in Syria. You have the Kurds, who are fighting the Turks in Syria. And then you have the U.S. trying to keep keep Israel at bay, and you have Russia trying to keep Iran at bay. And Russia and the U.S. are caught in the middle, and it is straining relations between those two countries as well. So that's the situation you have. They just set up a powder keg, and it's ready to explode. And they're just poking at it to see which side is going to blow. And that's the situation we've got. So the main thing to do would be to hold Israel accountable, first and foremost, for their war crimes in the UN. So you need to hold Israel accountable first. Then, once you hold them accountable, then you hold the Iranians accountable for their proxy wars in Lebanon and in Jordan and in all of those areas. And Russia should do that through a Security Council resolution. The U.S. should do that to Israel in a Security Council resolution. That would calm both of those factions down. And then you would have to put pressure on Turkey, which Israel has the power to put pressure on Turkey. So it's a way to get these players to calm down, but the military-industrial complex and the bankers do not want this, and the deep state. So they are pushing through Israel and Turkey to keep the U.S. there and eventually, hopefully, start World War III through this process. That's the situation we have. So we were pulling out. Now we may not be. More war, brothers and sisters. So I just want, and just to pivot, since we're talking about Israel, and just to pivot, Israel, the Palestinians were protesting, and then the Israelis came and broke up that protest and brutally beat and killed people in this process. But what I want to do is read an article, and this is from like 2014, but I want you guys to see how disgusting the a number of the Israeli public are as far as their hatred, their racism, bigotry, and fascism. These people are fascist. They are what they fought against in World War II. They have become it. So I just want to read this. This article is from July 14, 2014. So it was about 4 years ago. And it says, Israelis watch bombs drop on Gaza from front row seats. And it says, last Wednesday night, as he stood on the hilltop outside of the Israeli town of Sadat and watched the bombardment of Gaza on the plain below, a Danish newspaper reported a dozen locals who cheered on the military from plastic chairs while eating popcorn. Alan Sorensen, a veteran Mideast correspondent for Denmark's Christy Light Dagblad, then uploaded image to Twitter of the Israelis sitting watching the bombardment. So it's a bunch of pics. And if you want those pics, for all of our listeners, I can send them to you, or I could send you the link to this article. It's honestly, it's the New York Slimes that wrote it, but I thought it was telling. Okay, Israelis bringing chairs to hilltops to watch latest bombings from Gaza, clapping when blasts are heard. And that's the tweet. It says the image of the Israeli spectators was taken after 9 p.m. local time on Wednesday, the reporter said, about the same time that what was intended to be a precise strike from the Israeli military killed at least eight of their Palestinian neighbors, seated in similar plastic chairs at a beachside cafe in Gaza, waiting to watch the World Cup semifinals between Argentina and the Netherlands. As his image reverberated around the social network, where it was more than where it was shared more than 10,000 times, the reporter was surprised by the response. It was said in a telephone interview from Israel, nothing new. Similar scenes of Israeli spectators gathered on the high ground above Gaza to view the destruction below were documented in the London Times and a video report from Denmark's TV2 during Operation Cast led in 2009, where the woman said, her name was Karen Levy, said, I'm a little bit fascist when it comes to the bombing of the Palestinians. Those brutes should all perish from the earth. Explaining that he has previously witnessed Palestinians cheering news of bombings that killed Israelis, he said that in this war, this is what happened. Civilians and fighters on both sides act this way, he said. He said, which is very dehumanizing. Despite the willingness of some residents to stand in the open watching war unfold, excuse me, Sadat is well within the range of rockets launched by and they call it Islamic militants, but launched by the residents of Gaza, and the city was hit in those recent days. And then they have pictures of it. When he was a candidate for the American presidency in 2008, then Senator Barack Obama visited the town and saluted the brave citizens of Sadat. Saluted them now for while standing in front of a collection of spent rockets that had been fired at them from Gaza. He also presented a I Love Sadat t-shirt that channeled the dark humor of the residents with the image of a heart on its front pierced by a rocket. Ugh. I could barely read this. It's disgusting. And this is how these people think over there. But everybody wants to protect the Israelis. It's disgusting. What should happen is that this country should be partitioned as an international plot of land that where all people of all races, religions, and creeds can come together in harmony. That one place. It shouldn't be a Jewish place. It should be an international buffer zone for peace. That's what the state of Israel should be. Nothing else. There should be not one race of people there unless the real Israelites come back. Because little do you guys know, there were 12 tribes of Israel, not just the Jews. The Jews are the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. That's what the Jews were. That's what Judea was when the Jews were kicked out. And these guys are not actually Jews per se. They are actually Edomites. We're running out of time. We'll talk about that at another time. But this is the situation in Syria. And this is the situation in Palestine. It's genocide going on, gentrification, and Israel is in the center of all of the conflict in the Middle East. And all of these conflicts in the Middle East were put together by the U.S. at the behest of Israel through AIPAC, which is their lobbying firm in the United States for the military-industrial complex. So that's it, brothers and sisters. That's the situation. Hopefully things get better. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys informed. We will go a little bit more in depth in as far as that situation in Israel and why that whole situation is going down in the first place. We'll dig into that in another broadcast. But thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. The show's archived, so you could go to any of our sites, Facebook, Periscope, BitChute, Daily Motion, Ustream, YouTube, Skype, Podbean, Speaker, Blog Talk, Pal Talk. You could go to any of those sites. It's all archived, and you can get this these broadcasts available for you. So with that, I want to thank you guys for listening. Again, I hope you enjoyed the show. And until we meet again at the appointed time, see you later, everybody. Take off.